Good morning and welcome to worship at Advent. A few technical difficulties with the organ before we started, but with a little bit of organizing, Bruce got it together. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Please join with me in the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you promise. Make us love what you command, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Please be seated.
This morning's Old Testament reading is from Exodus 22, verses 21 through 27. Do not mistreat an alien or oppress him, for you were aliens in Egypt. Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do, and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will be aroused, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives will become widows, and your children fatherless. If you lend money to one of my people among you who is needy, do not be like a moneylender. Charge him no interest. If you take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, return it to him by sunset, because his cloak is the only covering he has for his body. What else will he sleep in? When he cries out to me, I will hear, for I am compassionate. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 1 that we read this morning sings of the two paths that we may choose to take through life. In poetic verses that seem to foreshadow Jesus' parable about the seeds that fall on variously nourishing grounds, the psalmist likens us to trees. There are the lush, fruitful, and well-watered trees of the righteous who follow God's way, and the weak trees that can't stand straight, representing the way of the wicked. Which way shall we choose? The psalm makes our options clear. This morning's psalm is on page 3, and we will read in unison. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand straight upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is doomed. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our second reading this morning is from 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 8. It is fascinating to listen in as Paul tells the people of Thessalonica, one of his churches in Greece, about his problems with the congregation at Philippi, a neighboring community. In this letter, we get a glimpse of serious problems. Someone in Philippi apparently was strongly opposed to Paul and disagreed with his teaching. Paul is grateful to the Thessalonians, though, for treating him kindly. They have built a dear friendship that Paul likens to a nurse caring for her children. Unfortunately, by the time Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians around 55 CE, maybe 5 years after 1 Thessalonians, all apparently had been forgiven, as he then addresses the people of Philippi with loving friendship too. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, you could have been a burden to us, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of our Lord according to Matthew. I'll be reading from Matthew 22. This is one of the more familiar passages in the Bible where Jesus summarizes the meaning of the law and the prophets. Matthew 22, starting at verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered them together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. And he said to them, then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? No one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone dare from that day on to ask him another question. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. This morning I want to share a personal story, something that has been developing for about a month. Since our babies were little, we have been a very close family. And when our kids became adult and got married, they all chose to live close to Tammy and I. It was a wonderful thing. And it was one of those things that we would be together every Sunday, went to the same church, would meet during the week. A lot of times we'd have a game night. And then 5 years ago, my son and his wife, Christina, they have six children, decided that they believed that they've were to move to Florida, where Christina was offered a wonderful nursing position that took care of the salary needs until Chris could find a job. And so it was a blessing for them. It was not a blessing for me. But yet it was one of those things that they made a good decision for their family. And then a little over a month ago, Christopher and Christina had talked about wanting to move back up north. And Christopher felt as though the Lord was telling him that this was the time. He has been working at Walt Disney World, but they have been on furlough since the spring. So he understood that in the Orlando area, there wasn't much work to be had because of the 10,000 Disney employees that were also looking for work in that area. And so he believed that they were to come. And so he flew up and stayed with my brother and I, and came on a Friday. And he decided, first of all, to call his former boss, Gary, and just to ask him. Chris managed a Jimmy John's, a fast food restaurant, and asked him if he would look in that company to see if there could possibly be a job opening. And Gary said he would do that. 2 days later on Sunday, Gary called him back and said, "You're not going to believe this, but my manager just told me that he was resigning and that he would like to be gone at least by the end of the year." And Gary said to my son, "Would you at all be open to the possibility of coming back as the manager of my store?" And Chris was absolutely blown away. He mumbled and stuttered a bit, and he said, "That would be absolutely wonderful." So he called his wife. They set a termination date for their apartment in Florida. Christina was still at work. She had to find a job up here before they could move. But Chris felt as though God had opened doors, and they were to move forward in spite of the fact that they didn't have a home yet, a detail, and that Christina didn't have a job yet. One of the things that I wanted to call to your attention is this scripture from the psalm that we just read. "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous." And the gospel lesson is about, what does it mean to be a God follower? It means to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and then your neighbor as yourself. And Chris is, and Christina are believers, and he felt like this was the time. So he suggested to Christina that she resign her job as at the end of October, even though she didn't have any job up here. And she began to apply back to the hospitals in the area. And last week, she was offered two jobs at the clinic. Ironically, one of the ones that she was offered was the one that she left, which was in the neonatal unit at Fairview Hospital. And she accepted that. And so both of them have come back home, or are coming back home, to the same jobs that they left. Absolutely amazing. The only thing missing now is a home. Chris made arrangements to rent a truck that would haul their equipment up. And my brother and I said that we would fly down to Florida, actually this coming Thursday, and drive the truck up with their furnishings and then take it to their new house. We got the airline tickets. We have the truck rental. Still didn't have a home. But Chris said, "Dad, don't worry. It's coming. I'm at peace." Christina was a little bit like this. And then at the end of this past week, Chris found the house that was perfect for them in Strongsville, signed the lease. Now when my brother and I drive back, we will have a place to dump the furniture, which is really good. Otherwise, it would have to go into our garage. But point being that I would like you to think about, it doesn't matter where you are in your life, that the Lord makes a room for you, makes a way for you in spite of the circumstances. We are living at a time in our nation where there is such upheaval, such uncertainty. There is conflict even in families between political parties. Who do you believe? Who do you believe? What news stations do you listen to? A very difficult time. But as Christians, we are called to remember that God knows the way of the righteous. He hasn't forgotten us. And I want to share a couple scriptures that talk about that. For me, what is happening with my son and for their children, it's a wonderful thing that as a family we will be together again. That had been a prayer and a desire of mine since they had left. And now that they are coming back, it's one of those things. It's an amazing, almost miraculous way that God has opened up doors that weren't open before. And so think about God knows the way of the righteous. In 2 Timothy 2:19, God's strong foundation continues to stand. We are living in a time when it seems like the foundation of our country is beginning to be shaken, where it seems as though our society is being rattled, turned upside down in many ways. But here in Timothy, God's strong foundation continues to stand. These words are written on the seal of the foundation. The Lord knows those who belong to him. Remember the story of Daniel, who he and his friends were transported against their will to Babylon. And God made a way for them. He opened up a way for them to live and to serve in a culture that was very different from what they were expecting. They were of royal blood, probably from the family of the king of Judah, and yet they were deported. And God used them in a very impactful way to impact Babylon, but also to eventually prepare the way back home to Jerusalem a generation or so later. Daniel experienced suffering, anxiety, even some persecution, but he was true to his God, and God provided a way because the Lord knows those who belong to him. And if you belong to the Lord, it doesn't matter what you're going through right now. It doesn't matter what is happening around you. God knows those who belong to him. A lesson for me from the story of my son and Christina and from Daniel is that even when you go through times of struggle and uncertainty, God is involved in shaping events to fulfill what his purposes and plans are. It's a wonderful thing. Now let me read from 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 through 13. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers. We're to see ourselves as aliens and strangers, that we live here. We are grateful to live where we do. But we're not to treat this as where we're from. We're a part of the kingdom of heaven. We live here in the same way that Daniel and his cohorts lived in Babylon, but they were from another place. You're from another place. And your destiny is that in Jesus, at the moment of your death, you will go home to that place that has been prepared for you. So I continue in 1 Peter. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Last week, or for most of the week, I was at a retreat for ministers in Amish country, and saw a lot of different people, different groups of Amish people who tend to speak of non-Amish people as English, or the English. And here, so keep your excellent behavior, keep your behavior excellent among the English. In other words, those that aren't a part of your faith, a part of your colony, live according to God's word. Love the Lord with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Live excellently so that there won't be an excuse about how you live. Then it continues, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of his visitation, when the Lord returns for his people. Submit yourselves, therefore, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority. To me, that's a powerful thing. It's what Daniel did. It's what we are called to do. And by God's grace, he will make a way for us. In the letter to the Romans in chapter 12, familiar verse, verse 2, Paul says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, what is good and pleasing and perfect." And that's where we are as Christians. You may not be in the middle of a move, like my son and daughter-in-law, but you have areas in your life that need to be connected in a way that fulfills your life and your ability to be a witness for the Lord. So I encourage you this week, expect that God has your back because he knows the way of the righteous. And for myself, as we conclude, I would really appreciate, as Finn and I drive back home on Friday and Saturday, that you would pray for us, that we would have a good, uneventful trip. God bless you this week. Let us stand now and share our faith through the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people this morning are Form 3, which can be found on page 5 in your bulletins. After each petition, you're encouraged to offer your own prayers, either silently or aloud. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church, that we all may be one. Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you, that your name may be glorified by all people. We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own Bishop Hollingsworth and Love, and for Pastor Paul, that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world, that there may be justice and peace on the earth. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake, that our works may find favor in your sight. We request, Lord, for healing and recovery from Advent's prayer list, for Lillian, for Mary Lou, for Bob, Barb, Michael, Bill and Judy, Marcia, Ed, Marilyn, Karen and Lois, Sharon, Steve, Lucille, Joan, Stacy, Rose, Art, George, Shirley, Dave. For Friends of Advent, for Tony, Ken and Jim, Father Lutz, Betty Clark, the Eliza Jennings residents, for Liz, Pastor Joyce, Stella, Tina, Jan, the residents of Pinzone Tower, Will, and Gabe. We ask for safety and protection for David and for Rachel. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We will say the following prayer together. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The Lord be with you. I want you to stand and wave that around the room.
Good morning. Good morning. Brother Bruce, did you want to say something?
Morning. Well, every once in a while, that organ acts up when a pedal sticks, and it just goes, wah. So thanks to Brother Ray, myself, we were able to put our experience together and figure out how to fix it. And I tell you, after 37 years as an electrical engineer, I find that the highly technical experience worked again. Good swift kick in the lower right corner works. Also works for TVs, computers, and washing machines. As I'd mentioned last week, Veterans Day this year is on November 11th, a Wednesday. Advent's going to celebrate it on the Sunday before, on November the 8th. So last week we started, and we're going to do it again today and next Sunday. I have on two clipboards on the table in the foyer by the door last year's roll call, and last week several people were able to add names that we didn't have before. So the sheet has been updated with those names, and so then we ask again for you to review. Now there's two pages for roll call names. They're the same on both clipboards. So you can review either clipboard, and if there's some immediate family members that you want to add on the roll call, please feel free to just write them in. I'll update those again for next week, and then we'll have one more time to do that as we prepare for our Veterans Day program on November the 8th. Another update I would like to do by myself here is, first off, for the 2 months that I was off after my motorcycle accident, and I wanted to thank the Advent family for the many prayers and cards and phone calls that I had received during that period of time. As I'd mentioned last week, the 7 deep wounds that tore off a significant amount of skin, I finally all healed up after 2 months. And my right arm, which was in the beginning just hanging down to the side of my body, well, I graduated from physical therapy school this past week on the shoulder, and they said I have probably 80% of the range of motion back, and that's probably as good as it's going to get. And they figured I probably tore the rotator cuff in both shoulders. But they said it's probably minor tears and probably not worth considering surgery. But 80% usage is a lot better than I was 2.5 months ago. And I still have another couple weeks to go on physical therapy on my right foot. It's been now 3 months, still swollen. And they said it could be swollen for up to 6 months, but it is getting better and the range of motion and the pain is reducing constantly. But I'm thankful that one of my goals was to be able to get back to the organ, and so thankful to the Lord that I was able to continue to do that. One more thing is the insurance company came out to my house and looked at the motorcycle after the accident, and they said it was totaled, so it was not going to be repaired. So therefore, I got a large bag of motorcycle parts all banged up. If anybody would like to have that, there is going to be a fire sale of the sale of those banged up parts. So you can see me anytime. Thank you very much.
We're going to keep Bruce on 4 wheels, not 2. There's a multitude of cards out in the foyer. One is the Kwanzaes, and if you look at the bottom of your adventures, it tells you what's going on with the Kwanzaes. There's a card if you'd like to sign that. We'll get it over to Ed and Lillian. There's 2 cards for Bishop Love. They've been out there a couple weeks now. You can sign those. And there's a 3rd card, which Cynthia has made up for us. It's the biggest, 8.5 by 11. And I don't see him anywhere in the sanctuary today. This is for Dick McCormick. Someone had asked me a while back if we could do something for him, for all he's done for Advent and for us. And he's put in a tremendous amount of hours with the diocese, currently with Father Ben, and that's still in negotiation. So there's a card out there for Dick McCormick. It's got his name on it. It's the big one. If you would sign that as you're leaving today, we'll get that over to Dick. But we're going to do something on November 22nd. And I can only say that because he's not here today to hear all this. We've contacted his wife, Linda, and she's going to come down on the 22nd, not with Dick. She'll come in separately. And we're going to surprise him with a small gift and a card. So that's coming up. He has been involved in so much, and I think he's been junior or senior warden for about the last, 100 years, since I can remember. That was supposed to be a 3-year term, and he's been carrying it on to keep this place going. So we'll see what happens with Father Ben. I do not know how that's going to come out. It's still in negotiation, but Dick is working on it. So November 22nd, we'll have a little surprise for him here in the church. We'll try to catch him off guard, and we'll hand him the card and a gift. Thank you. Peace be with you.
The operative word there was surprise. As the offering is brought forward, why don't you stand with me? And we will share together in the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened up to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. Our Lord stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, when he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he gave it to them and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Please join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. These gifts are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive what the Lord has provided for us. Cynthia, the body of our Lord given for you, it's the bread of heaven. mercy on the body of the Lord. Please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord Jesus bless you this week as you seek to live for him in a sometimes confusing world. Amen. Peace and joy as you serve the Lord. Amen. Oh, and by the way, go Browns.